Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Joining me today, the person I'm always most comfortable with, Dr. Dave Stoop, on radio.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in life, you know, there are other people, like my wife. But
I really hope so.
But I love doing radio with you, Dave. We've been doing it just a little bit of time, haven't we?
Yeah, my word. It goes way back to the early 90s, really, on and off there for some years at the beginning.
Yeah, and of course, one of the things that I have to deal with all the time with Dave, you know, a little jealousy there, over every airport I go through, they've got his book there. And I'm really happy every time I see it, and he knows this. So happy for him, because whether it's under Rethink What You Think or You Are What You Think, man, it's really having an impact on a lot of people.
It really does move books.
On Thanksgiving, I'm going to be preaching over at Northview Church here locally. And then in February, I'm going to be doing a series on Healing is a Choice there. Here's a testimony from Patty from Healing is a Choice. It's less than a month away. She says, "My life before this weekend was getting to the point where I was ready to give up and just hide away from the rest of the world. I felt alone, unlovable, and that no one cared about me. Well, this weekend has been very insightful and encouraging. It has helped me to realize so many things about myself that I did not understand or even know I was doing. I'm leaving with hope, knowledge, and understanding that I can use the tools given me and make great changes. I can be the woman God wants me to be." I mean, Wow. You know, when I was working on the idea of healing as a choice, my wife came along and said, "You know, healing really is a choice, Steve. It's God's choice. So don't get so caught up in all these 10 choices that you miss that." And it's so true. God wants us to have healing, but there are these decisions we have to make before we experience that healing. You know, just the decision to grieve your losses. I mean, really, you grieve the past and it heals your future. You don't have to experience that pain to that degree anymore. That's what we want for you. You call us, whatever you're dealing with, we want to help you with that. And we can. Yeah.
And you know what? It's emotional healing. I think that's a universal that God wants to see happen. Doesn't always happen physically, but it always can happen emotionally, because there is a way that God works that's very clear.
And I hope and pray that you're one of those people in this world that really does believe that you know, God wants you to heal, and that to do that, you know, there is an emotional healing that needs to take place. So you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll help you. I'm going to go to the phones. I'm not going to wait any longer, and we're going to go to Teresa. Maybe not. The music is starting. Okay, I'll give you a verse instead. Teresa, you hang on. Listen to this, Galatians 5:16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." If you're just aware of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is real, and you call upon the Holy Spirit for strength, it's going to change things. It's going to make a difference. That's what I'm hoping for you. All right. We'll go to this break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Teresa, whatever she wants to talk about. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. some great, wonderful weekends of healing and restoration, including Healing is a Choice. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And right now, as promised, Teresa. Teresa, how are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, you're welcome. How could we help today?
Well, I would like advice on this situation. I've been married 22 years, and my husband is extremely verbally abusive, and we are empty nesters. When our kids come home from college, I feel like they make a big effort to avoid being around him, and a lot of my friends now don't come over because they don't particularly like him, and a lot of people are encouraging me to leave him. And I look at their relationship, and I feel that they have problems just like I do. And so I'm trying to hang in there, but I feel that it's sort of tearing me apart. And I feel like when I go other places, men are nicer to me and say nicer things to me than I ever hear at home. So I am tempted to leave because I feel like after 22 years, nothing's going to ever change. And it's really been a brutal ride.
Hmm. Well, one thing I just want to mention to you is what's going on in other people's marriages is irrelevant. It should be irrelevant to you. You don't want to endure abuse because somebody else is enduring it, or you don't want to ignore abuse because somebody else might be ignoring it. So what you want is you want to make decisions based on what you believe God's best is for you. Dave, what do you think when you
well,
hear this?
When I hear this, Teresa, I'm wondering about pornography.
Me too, Dave. Wow. Absolutely. That was exactly what was on my mind.
Because that is a symptom of a guy who's addicted to porn.
Yep.
Is to take his guilt and his shame out on his wife.
I think and this is my analysis after 22 years, he's the product of a teenage mom. And the mother was in several abusive relationships, four marriages to be exact. And I really don't think he likes women.
Well,
I think he's angry at women, but definitely, I've never seen one sign of porn. He doesn't drink alcohol, use drugs. He works 110 hours a week. So I feel like he throws all of his life into his work.
So how does he unwind? And that's my question, because
he doesn't unwind.
Yeah,
he's never unwind.
My guess is he unwinds with pornography, and I think if you were to look for it, you would find it. Because and you know, you can not like women in real life, but you like them in the pornography because they're under your control. You can't control the live person.
Well, we still have an active sex life, but I don't really like it because I psych myself out and force myself to enjoy it because I don't have any alternative. I'm not going to have an affair. But at the same time, I think I would feel better about life if I knew, you know, the next day after we have sex, someone's not going to call me a name.
Well, yeah. So what are you willing to do to change the dynamics that have been set up here where he's abusive, you let him be abusive, and then he continues to be abusive.
So, well, I have found a place, and I'm planning to move.
You are?
And file for divorce.
Have you told him?
No, because I haven't told him. Because, you know, we've gone through counseling before, and he'll sit there, and the counselor will say, okay, let's discuss some of the problems. And he'll say, it's my wife. And they'll say, could you be a little bit more specific? And he'll say, everything about her. And so we never get anywhere, so...
Okay.
You know, we've gone to counseling three different times, and
right.
It's really me and the counselor holding the conversation, and he'll sit there and won't open his mouth.
So what about coming to our marriage weekend where people in worse shape than you have everything has changed as a result of coming? What about trying it?
I mean, I would be willing to try it, but I can...
Well,
and I don't want to speak negatives. I'll ask him, I already know the answer.
Don't ask him, Teresa. Tell him, you know, we're going to go to this, and if you're not willing to go, then I'm moving out.
Okay.
But don't say we're going, and if you don't do it, I'm moving out. You just say, I've signed us up for this, and we're going to go. Okay? Leave it there. Okay. Let him get angry. Let him get over it. The next day, if he's not over it, that's when you say, well, let me just be more specific. You don't go to this. I'm moving out. Because if you just launch in on the I'm moving out if you don't go, then he won't go because he'll show you you're not going to control him.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, look, I signed us up. I really want to save this marriage. I want it to be great. And so here's what I've got us doing. It's not like the counseling we've done. This is going to be great. People have just had great results. Let him get angry and say he will not go. Then you come back the next day. See, check in with him. I hope you changed your mind. If he has, never mention the move out thing. But if he doesn't, then that's when you let him know, hey, things are different now, buddy. You come and you go or we're done. I'm moving out, and I found a place, and that's life. Before you tell him you're moving out, you had better consult an attorney, right?
Already have.
Okay.
But please, please, give this a chance. And you hold on. Maybe, you know, we can help you get there, but man, you've described, in my mind, the most miserable man I've heard of, probably... in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
120 hours a week, angry at his wife.
But and, you
you're
know,
probably
I've,
gonna
I've
need
given to... up. Like, this is the happiest I've been because I finally have made a decision. This is probably the happiest and the best sleep I've had in years because I have made a decision, and I am fine with my decision.
Uh-huh.
And I think at some point the devil was tricking me, saying, oh, don't divorce, oh, divorce. You know what? It's not a marriage if you don't have two people working on it.
Okay. I think the devil was tricking you in making you believe it's hopeless. But that's what we created that weekend for, is to counter hopelessness. And so hang on. We're going to see what we can do to get you there. And I'm really, really glad that you called. And I will send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution book, 7 Things to Do and 7 Things Not to Ever Do. All right, let's go to Rob. Rob's calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. What's going on with you today?
Well, I am currently in, my wife has left, and...
What happened? Well, wait, before you say anything else. If I was talking with her right now, she's on the other line, what would she say was her biggest complaint before leaving?
Probably she would define as insecurity, and that I didn't trust her, and then the rest is all very vague. She was never very clear on it.
Okay. So what do you think happened?
Well, I think what happened is just a breakdown of communication, and she has a control issue and an anger issue. Mm. If she doesn't have control, she resorts to anger.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes abusive in her language, abusive to herself in a way. And, you know, at that, even when I tried to get clarification as to what it is that we needed to work on or what I needed to do differently, and I wasn't getting it, she would snap on a dime, literally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
what's the question for us then?
I guess the question is it, how do you, you know, how do you know that it's a pattern for her if she's, well, a control, anger, because she, you know, in her mind, I think it's she's putting that on me.
Well, what happens when you put it on you? What's your part of the cycle?
My part of the cycle is probably that I have fallen into being passive.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than standing firm and putting boundaries.
Why are those the only two options?
Well, I guess partly because we never really, you know, all of her things that she's made claims on were very vague. One huge one was that she insisted that I had borderline personality. And I know that it wasn't true. In fact, when I discussed this with my counselor, she's like, well, we need to just get an exam done and so she can stop with that. And then I went and had an exam. Everything came back fine. And in fact, I had to show documentation to the pastor because she had spread some lies both to the pastor and his wife that I was borderline and that I refused to take medication. And all of that made me think that, okay, she has this agenda that she just wants to find a way out.
Yeah, but her agenda usually has a co-agenda. The things like, is she seeing a counselor by herself?
She was for quite some time.
Okay, and you're seeing a counselor by yourself.
Yeah.
How come you guys didn't see a counselor together?
That's a very good question, because I tried to have that happen right away, and she refused to do that.
But part of what you've got to look at, Rob, is somehow you're playing into this. You can play into it with your passivity or something, and you're stirring up within her whatever she's throwing at you in some way or other. And when you can diagnose her and her behavior, that's no different than her diagnosing you and blaming you for the thing. It's really something that's going on between the two of you.
And that was what I had stated to her, is that it's a communication issue that you and I have.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want to accept that. All along, I had stated that. And she just refused to hear that.
Okay.
And part of me wonders, is it part of, you know, because she's such a perfectionist. And so much so that she even had done one of her assignments for her son at one time.
Mm. Okay. Now, you said you think part of your contribution is passivity. And when a person is passive in the face of someone like her, you kind of cease to exist. So let's at least look at what you could do to stop playing the passive role. One of the things that, I mean, she's saying it's over, right?
Right.
So you don't really have anything to lose, do you, by saying, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to be a man and I'm not going to be passive, right?
In love.
I guess I'm details are more important. I thought it was doing that in the beginning, but I don't know anymore. I really don't.
Well, you're the one that said you've been too passive.
Right.
And I'm saying that could be one of the reasons that she thinks it's over, is because passivity leads to depersonalization in the other person's mind. So how do you become a person to her is what I want to deal with you. How do you no longer, kind of shirk back in a passive role out of fear or trying to eliminate conflict? And how do you assert yourself in a loving way that might get her attention and cause her to rethink the decision that she's made? So that's what I want to deal with after the break, when I ask Dave what he thinks would be the best way for you to do that. And then I'll present it and act like it was my idea, and we'll move on with the program. But we want to help you, and I think there is some potential here for help.
There is.
We'll be back after this.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiburn.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Artiburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep, and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com, tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, the author of Rethink How You Think. We're talking to Rob. Rob has stated that he thinks his response to his wife, who has filed for divorce or wants the divorce, thinks he's been too passive. And so, Dave, we did talk about this, and you do have a strategy for him.
Yeah, here's where I would go, Rob, if you were sitting in my office. I would say to you, you need to go to your wife and say, I have obviously hurt you deeply over the years, or else you wouldn't be as angry as you are with me. And I've been too passive to really pay attention, and I apologize. I want to hear how I've hurt you over the years, and I promise not to interrupt, I promise not to explain, and I promise not to defend. And in fact, I'm going to make notes to, because I want to hear your heart, and then you follow through on that and see where that takes you. Could you
and
do
I,
that?
I have done those things. I've taken notes after notes. I've even videotaped a conversation we had.
But what do you do with that?
Well, I look at it and say, okay, what's my role and what do I need to do differently? And look at, what can she do differently in that?
No, you don't go there.
Well, I realize that now. You know, that my issues are mine and hers are hers. But she's in denial of hers, and I can't, and I'm not going to.
Well, she's in denial of hers because she thinks you're blaming her for everything. And you're in denial of yours because you're convinced that she's blaming you for everything. That's this isn't directed at you because it's too late, but that's the danger of couples seeing individual therapists for counseling on a marriage. It never works. In fact, it destroys the marriage. But that's beside the point. I would still do this, and I'd say, and I'm going to only focus on my part of what I've done. I don't want to do any diagnosing of you or any figuring out of what you've done. I only want to understand what I've done.
Well, she's convinced her therapist that I was emotionally abusive, and she.
Now, is that true? Is that true? Were you in any way emotionally abusive? Let's cover that.
Not what my counselor and I say no.
Okay.
When we talked about examples, because I had started writing stuff down because of her claim, and.
But it felt like it to her.
Yeah, that doesn't
change
her
experience.
It felt
like it to her. That's right. That was her truth, her reality. So,
okay.
And
you've
got to deal with her truth and with her reality.
Now, sometimes, if a marriage is worth saving, the passive guy ends up in an aggressive plan to conquer the problem, and it causes a response. So, rather than kind of slink around the house, you know, when she's there, what if you were out of the house in a men's Bible study one night, a men's support group in another night, codependency group another night? You know, you really got active, other than just going to see a therapist once a week, you really got active in changing the level of insight you have into yourself.
I would definitely do that. I mean, I travel weekly. That's part of...
What do you do for a living?
Clinical research.
Clinical research. All right.
So,
So maybe, the research begins with you, and you start to look for some clues as to how you interact that produces disconnection versus connection, and then the research on how do you change that. I just don't think you have anything to lose here.
She's already moved out, so
okay.
In another state on top of
wow.
that, so back
okay.
to our home state.
All right, so you do it anyway, and you inform her of the things that you're doing, because you tell her, I want you back. I bet she doesn't really know that you want her back. Is that right?
No, she does.
She does know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I've
so
made
I
it,
think
actually very clear to her and my
okay.
intentions, and I've even with the awarenesses that that have come about probably the last over the summer, because she actually left me during the summer.
Okay, so you let her know.
Texted her my awarenesses of what I've discovered about myself or something.
Okay. Well, I really feel for you. I'm telling you. What were you about to say, Dave?
Oh, I would still do what we were talking about and what you were talking about, and I would keep her informed and talk only about how you're understanding yourself better.
Yeah.
Not how you're understanding her.
I just pray for you. I hope you could come to Healing as a Choice. I wish both of you could get to the marriage weekend, just like I do every marriage problem that calls us. I mean, it's just such an amazing experience. But whatever you do, and I'm going to send Healing as a Choice to you, just know God is with you. God loves you. And I just wouldn't give up. You know, I would just not give up and see if there might be a little bit of a miracle here that starts to happen in response to the work that you do. And I think you realize just, you know, doing the same old stuff isn't certainly not going to make things better. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more New Life Live after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Arterburn here with my co-editor of the Life Recovery Bible, Dr. Dave Stoop. Over 2 million of these Bibles out there. And you can get a Bible at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. A gift of any amount is matched 100%. And if you do get that matching gift, I'll send you the new publication from the Life Recovery series, The 12 Gifts. No, actually, we're going to do the 12 laws of Life Recovery. You can buy the 12 Gifts if you want it. Our way of saying thank you for helping us to help others here at New Life. Now, let's go. You know, well, yes, Dave?
Yeah, I want to go back to our last caller. You know, one of the things that is so dangerous is to see individual therapists for a marriage.
Why is that?
It's just the nature of individual therapy. If my wife is seeing somebody and I'm seeing somebody, the loyalty of that therapist is to interpret life for me. Mm-hmm. Not for us. And even though they may think they're working on the marriage, it still comes back to working on you. And I've fallen into that trap and realized it after the fact, unfortunately, but not very often because I see the. I mean, here's where his wife has got a diagnosis for him by somebody who's never even seen him.
Yeah, right.
And he's working on trying to understand his wife because that's what is the easy path for the therapist to do, but they're still looking at it from your point of view and helping you. Until you get both of you in the same room with a trained marital therapist, somebody who is trained to work with two people or more in the room, that's where the difference comes in.
Okay, very, very good. Let's talk to Linda from Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Linda, how are you?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just calling. I don't have a question, but it's a comment. Your show, I really appreciate it. I'm 62, and I've been married and divorced 5 times.
Wow.
And I was the one that left each and every time, but I wasn't in the gospel. I didn't know the Lord's views and his how he felt about marriage and divorce. But thank God for a Bible preaching gospel church that I found. And listening to your show, now I know I could be a Titus II woman or help some young lady along the way who's thinking about leaving her husband. Just look to God and read the Bible and hold fast. I know God has forgiven me. So I just, you know, pray for everyone else. And your show, I'm sure, has saved thousands of marriages because I listen every day, and it's wonderful.
Well, thank you so, so much. And just our way of saying thank you. I'm gonna send you Healing as a Choice, and hope our paths will cross. And I hope that you know, your blessing us is going to be motivation for somebody else to get some help. Let's go to Anita. Anita's calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Anita. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. Thank you. I was calling for some counseling or some suggestion for a post-abortion. I had an abortion January of this year. The baby would have been due September the 19th.
Oh, wow.
And I put myself into, I like to call it like a silent prison. No one knew that I had the abortion other than my father. And so after the first couple of weeks, the first couple of months, I tried to cope with the pain and my decision through alcohol. I drank myself crazy for 3 months. Of course, it didn't help. It didn't work. I got with a church lady, a church friend, and I've never told her what I was going through, but she prayed for me and prayed over me. But I guess my question is, I think the one thing that I'm beating myself up about more than anything is I've always been a Christian. I love God. I love Jesus. I always have. And I cannot believe that I made that choice. And I actually went through with that, and I just wonder if I just need to know that God has forgiven me or he will forgive me.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me ask you, what led to you deciding this is what I need to do?
I'm a single mother now. My son is 14. And the guy that I was pregnant by, he doesn't work. He's been looking for employment. He hasn't had a job in 2 years, so he couldn't help out financially. And so I know how hard it has been to raise my son by myself. And I just did not want to put myself through that again or put a child through that. Selfish.
I'm just curious about adoption. Why you didn't think of that?
I did. I actually sat down with my father, and we went through these options. I was like, well, I really don't want to have an abortion. I said, I can, you know, there's families out here that would love to have a baby. And he, you know, you have to be careful who you get advice from. My father was completely negative. I'm not blaming him, because at the end it was my choice. But he was like, you know, you can never just have a baby and give it to someone. It'll always haunt you. You'll always wonder what it's like. And then my son, who's 14, you know, he would ask questions like, where is that child that you gave away? And so my father was an advocate for me to have the abortion, although he knew that I did not want it.
Okay. Now, do you know?
I'm sorry.
Do you know that I paid for an abortion?
No.
When I was younger, and I didn't just pay for it, I pressured this young woman to have it. I let her know I wasn't going to be there for her and her baby. So, in an even more severe form, I did what your father did, because him saying all of those things, those were forms of pressure. And every abortion, of course, has got a man attached to it in some way. Now, I went through all sorts of shame. I became very ill, very sick, physically sick, over the shame once I realized what I had done. Now, I believe I'm absolutely forgiven. I believe that God is a God of grace. I don't think I did something that he didn't die for on the cross. So from my own experience, from what I read in Scripture and what I've been through, I know what it was like not to be forgiven, to live in unforgiveness, And I sure know what it feels like to live with a heart that feels the freedom of forgiveness. So I want to encourage you to do whatever you need to do to feel forgiven. Now, one of the great joys of my life has been to watch women come to Healing as a Choice. Some, like the last Healing as a Choice we did, in 40 years, the woman had never said the word abortion, and so much shame. And before that weekend was over, she was standing up in front of everybody reading the letter she had written to her little baby. So I want that for you. So I want you to hold on. I want to get you to Healing as a Choice. That is the most powerful thing I know that could help you to experience God's forgiveness. Dave, do you have a comment you want to make?
Yeah, and then let me add to that. After you're done with Healing as a Choice, you find a crisis pregnancy center nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And you volunteer and share your story with the young women who are struggling with the same decision. And I've seen that bring healing. It would continue the healing you'd experience at Healing as a Choice. And really, it's redemptive, because now you're doing something to assist other women not to make the same mistake that you've made.
And
well, I did finally go to a crisis pregnancy center, and thank goodness that they had a program called Grace Post-Abortion Recovery.
Good.
And so it starts in October.
Okay.
And
okay.
I will be attending that program.
Great. And we want you to come in November to the Healing as a Choice, and we'll talk to you off the air about that.
Well, we're going to figure out a way for you to come to that. I was just in San Diego on 9/11. Speaking at the pregnancy organization, Pregnancy Center, Women's Resource Center, CareNet. And on 9/11, of course, we were remembering 3,000 people who died that day. 4,000 babies are aborted every single day. Yeah. And so what you did has been done by many people. I want you to live in God's grace, not in the condemnation and the shame that Satan wants you to live in. We're going to help you with that.
Thank
also,
you.
I think you need to go back to your father, and I think you need to say to him, Dad, this was a mistake.
Wrong choice.
The shame that I feel on my heart, it was a mistake. And I just, I hope that you never, ever encourage anybody to do what you encouraged me to do. I think you need to do that, okay?
I will.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to help you. Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, is coming your way. I know when I paid for that abortion, when I pressured her, I felt like I had done something unforgivable. Today, I know that it was forgivable and is forgiven. Given, and I live in His grace. I'll be back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register, to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me, because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. We're the co-editors of the Life Recovery Bible. If you want to start a life recovery group in your church, you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go to the website, newlife.com. Let's go to Lindsay, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to New Life.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, good.
Yes,
okay,
we can.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I think you guys are great, and you've helped me a lot since I found out about you.
Well, thank you.
I'm wondering a couple of things. Firstly, I think a lot about sexual integrity and what's going on in terms of pornography and that kind of thing. And I wonder if I've like overthought it and created a problem for myself. But the situation is that I checked my husband's computer one day and I did see some, you know, some pornographic things were there and came up. They weren't hidden. They were sort of right there on one of the tabs. And I talked to him about it and he said, I don't have a problem. It's just easy to click on these things when you're doing, you know, work and stuff. They're right there. It's easy to look at them. And I showed him your all the things you guys do, and he said, I don't have that kind of a problem. That's not for me.
What kind of problem does he have?
Well, not that kind of a problem, he said, in terms of looking at things online. He said that he doesn't have a problem. He just clicked it, you know, and looked at it. But I've heard since that time, I've heard about things like Covenant Eyes and other sorts of software. You're probably familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that sounded like a good thing because it just like gives you a report every month on sort of what sites people are going to in your house. And we have some older teenagers, but I thought it would still be useful to get it for everyone in the house. And he's saying he doesn't think it's a good idea, and I guess my question is, how far do you think I push on this? Like, do you think I'm over reading into this when there hasn't really been anything else that's come up, or do you think I really should push firm on this and, you know, take it all the way?
Let me ask this: is he clear with you on why he thinks that's not a good idea?
He's afraid that it's going to, like, that they're going to be able to see into, like, finances and other things that are on the computer.
No.
That's not true. No. So.
Yeah.
I think he's hiding, and he's saying that it's not necessary because he doesn't want to be found out. Every guy that's involved with pornography, that's addicted to pornography, says, oh, it's nothing when they get caught. And then when you do some checking, you find out it's more than nothing. And if it was nothing, he would be an open book to you, Lindsay. He would be telling you everything. He would be giving you access to everything. He would be just open, not defensive.
Yeah. I think your next conversation would be with him. Honey, I'm so disappointed. You know, I just wish that if you had a problem, you'd said, okay, I'm going to go get some help. But instead, you know, rather than prove that you don't have a problem, it's, I don't want to do anything that would, you know, kind of deter anybody from getting involved with here. And it's just so disappointing. You leave me with nothing. I found this stuff on your computer. You say it's no problem, but you're not willing to do anything to build security and trust in our relationship. Now, if you're not willing to put this on the computer, and everybody knows they're not going to find out anything about your finances. I haven't read in the paper in the past decade, Sexual Integrity Group uses information to steal money or something like that. So if you're not honey, if you're not going to do anything, well, what am I left with? Help me understand here. I think what you're left with is the belief there's a problem, and not only is he in denial, he's not willing to do anything about it. And so that tells you, if that's the case, you're not all that important to him. Now, do you feel important to him in other areas or not?
You know, it's had sort of a rocky road.
Okay, so then you tell him, and you know what? Here's the other ways that you show me I'm not that important. So I think we need some help. You're not willing to do this after I find that on your computer. Not willing to get help, not willing to prevent. I'm not that important. Let's go get some help.
And recognize too, Lindsay, that he is he has gone underground now. And he's going to be a lot more careful. And he just gave you the wrong responses. And you're not,
yeah.
You're saying, I'm making a big deal out of this. No, I think you're not. I think you're trying to minimize it. And I would make a big deal out of it.
If he continues to say no, do you think it's the kind of thing where I would say, we need to leave? That sort of thing?
No, I don't know.
You're at that point.
You're not yet. at that point.
No.
You simply talk about your disappointment at his unwillingness to be open and honest with you.
Yeah, it's hard too. It's hard to sort of let it go once you kind of get this in your brain, but I'm trying to, live a normal life.
Don't let it go.
I think you're not letting it go, but over the next few weeks, you're making him more and more aware of the level of difficulty this is for you. Now, I'm going to send you a book, Worthy of Her Trust. Jason Martinkus wrote this book. I helped him with it, and I'll send that out to you, and I want you to read it, and then I want you to give it to him, because now you both understand what it means for a man to be worthy of the trust of a woman. So there's no confusion there, and he knows what you know, and you know what he knows. So that's coming your way, and I'm going to encourage you to get into Women in the Battle, November the 13th. Once again, that shows him how serious a problem this is, and I think that's going to be helpful in clarifying to him.
And it's a serious problem for you. You make it a serious problem, Lindsay.
That's right. He may not act like it's a serious problem. But you're informing him it is a serious problem. It's a serious problem for me. So, Women in the Battle. I want you to hold on. Maybe we can even get a scholarship for you. Just showing him how much we think it's a problem and how much we think you need this in response to him. Very, very sorry that this is what you're going through. This is New Life Live. We love getting to be with you. If you can help us, every gift you give is a matching gift. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll send you 12 Laws of Life Recovery. You can buy the 12 Gifts of Life Recovery, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We also have our subscription television service. 1,000 different programs are there just for you. And if you haven't seen what's going on at tv.newlife.com, I encourage you to go there. It truly is a phenomenal, phenomenal service, changing the lives of a lot of people. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it is the same phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're on the line here, hold on. We've got another program coming up right after this, and I hope you'll stay tuned. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great day. And pray for us. We're going to be praying for you. We do it every single week around here at New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.